Psalm 90, the first psalm in book 4. You know, these psalm, the word itself means a song set to instruments, stringed instruments. So you can imagine singing these songs. And a lot of those early Jewish festivals included the singing of psalms. They would sing them before the tabernacle. Once the temple was built, they would sing them on the temple steps. Can't you imagine just singing this song? We don't know what the tune was, so we can make up our own tune. You know, I could see us, you know, we're going to sing this morning Psalm 119. And when we're done, we'll be done, because that psalm is like 6.5 pages long in my Bible. I don't know about yours, but we're going to just go with Psalm 90, and I am not going to sing, okay? You're probably glad to know that. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You've been the place we go to. You've been our refuge in all the generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. What a way to start. From beginning to end, from once upon a time to happily ever after, from the Alpha to the Omega, from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. He was God. He will be God. And before the mountains, we look at this mountain out here. That's a pretty good looking mountain. It's a pretty big mountain. But before that mountain was, he was God. The great I am. How cool is that? Verse 3, you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. Here he's talking about death. We go back to dust. We return to where we came from. Children of men, that's Adam, who caused that fall so many years ago. For 1,000 years in your sight, or like yesterday when it is past, like a watch in the night. 1,000 years in your sight. Paul wrote that same thing in 2 Peter, that 1,000 years in your sight is like nothing. You know, time, you ever noticed how time can sometimes just seem to stand still? You can be standing in line at a show, and it just takes forever to get to the front. But yet, once you're in the show, man, time just goes. You know, and the older you get, the quicker a year seems to go by. You ever notice that? You know, I can't wait to get old. Yeah. There's a story about these two little old ladies that were driving through town, and the lady, the passenger seat, she realized they ran a red light. She thought to herself, she just ran a red light. Another couple blocks went by, and the gal, little old lady driving, she ran another red light. And finally, on the third red light, the lady in the passenger seat, she says, dear, I think you've run 3 red lights. And the gal says, am I driving? You know, getting old is just great. You know, you can just go right on through. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes, it grows up, and in the evening it is cut down and withers. He's talking about man, how we grow up and we get cut down, we die, we return to the dust. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. This is Moses now talking about all those things that happened in the book of Numbers. Remember, they came to the land of milk and honey, and there were giants in the land, and the people didn't want to go in, and they started whining and complaining, and they said, Moses, you got to do something about this. And Moses goes before God, and God says, you know what? I've had it with you guys. You're just going to go back in the desert and wander around till you're all dead. Then my people can have the promised land, because I'm tired of your whining. And here's Moses now in these next few chapters talking about all those things that went on that caused God to have some misgivings about his children. We have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before us, our secret sins, in the light of your countenance. And don't you know that all of our sins will be made plain in the light of his glory? And it's good to know that when that light comes, we'll be covered in the blood of Christ, so that our sin will be washed away. It will be as pure as snow in that light. I am one who's thankful for that. For all your days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they're 80 years. You're going to get 70, and if you're lucky, you'll go to 80. You know, the average lifespan in this country now is 78 years old. In Africa, it's like 40. So it just depends on where you are. But in this country, the average lifespan is 78 years old. There was a Bible study that was talking about, you know, what if you knew when you were going to die? What if you knew you had 4 weeks left to live? And one of the people said, I would just devote those next 4 weeks to my family, to my church, to my community. Everybody thought that was a pretty good idea. And another said, I would just commit those next 4 weeks to studying and preaching and telling the world about Christ. And one little fellow in the back, he said, well, I'd go to my mother-in-law's house. And I said, why would you do that? He said, it'd be the longest 4 weeks of my life. Yeah. We're talking about time, how it passes, and sometimes it seems to drag. When I was in high school, this is a true story, a friend of mine and I, matter of fact, it was because we were going to do some April Fool's jokes, which is coming right up, so beware. We went camping on the hill up behind his house so that we could get up before dawn and come back to his house and kind of set it up, you know, for April Fool's. Well, we're sitting up there on the hillside, got our little campfire going, and time just seemed to drag. We talked for about an hour and looked at our watches, and almost 5 minutes had passed. We talked for another hour and looked at our watch, and another 5 minutes had gone by. We were so, time was going slow. We started this whole thing about whistling Beatles songs. You know, the Beatles had just broken up, and, you know, that was, I guess I'm kind of dating myself here. But we whistled Beatles songs for hours and hours and hours, and 5 minutes had gone by. You know, time just, so be ready for April Fool's Day, by the way, because that's coming up. So the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. You know, at the end, what will we have to show for our lives? You know, only the things that we've committed to God, only the ways that we have served the Lord will matter in the end. It isn't going to matter what kind of car I drove, kind of house I lived in. You know, it'll make a difference in what I did for the Lord here on the earth. All the rest will just be labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We need to organize ourselves, not just to number our days to know how much longer we have to live, but to number our days in terms of having some order, having some organization, and we can gain a heart of wisdom. The people of this time, they believed that it was your heart that you thought with. It was your heart that did the thinking. They also believed that it was your stomach that made you love. You know, you get the love thing going and you feel sick, you know. That's what they thought, that was coming from, the love was coming from the stomach and all your thinking came from your heart. But we now know that's a little different here. But we can gain a heart of wisdom. And how do we do that? How do we gain a heart of wisdom? By studying the Word. And if we're not organized in our daily routines, when will we find the time to fit in a little Bible reading? You know, so it comes with organization and commitment to reading your Word. So return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us early in your mercy. I like that line. Oh, don't let me wait, Lord. Give me your mercy now. Satisfy us early in your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. As bad as it was, make it good now. Make it as good as it was bad. Okay, if it was bad on a scale of 10, make it good now on a scale of 10. Okay, make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Let us and our future generations see the things that you're doing in our lives. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Show us how to do the things of God. Show us how to walk in your way. And let the beauty Let the beauty of the Lord shine forth in what we do and say. We could have sung that, huh? Yeah, we could have sung that. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's kind of a safe place to be, in the shadow of the Almighty. We went to an event in the desert one time out in Nevada. And it was summertime. It was hot. There's no shade. The only shade was in the telephone poles. And I kid you not, we were all sitting in the little shadow of the telephone pole. And every once in a while, we'd have to move a little bit, you know, as the sun would change. But to be in that shade, in the shadow, gave us a little bit of coolth. Coolth? Is that a word? No. A little coolth. It is now. We just made that word, coolth. Write that down. It just gave us just that little bit of comfort. And we can find that same kind of comfort being in the shadow of God. But where do you have to be in the shadow? Close by. You can't be way off in left field, unless that's where you're signed by the coach, you know, to be off in left field. But if you're going to be in the shadow, you've got to be close. You've got to be moving with God, to stay in his shadow. As he moves, you move with him, and you stay in that shadow. And we can abide there. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. I could just sing that. You know, that just is so, it's so refreshing and so reassuring that I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to catch a bird. You know the whole thing about sprinkling salt on a bird's tail? You ever hear that when you were a kid? Well, if you got to get close enough to sprinkle the salt, you'd be close enough to catch the doggone thing, you know. Or did you ever go on a snipe hunt with the kids? Okay. But there are people, fowlers, who actually go out and trap birds. And I did a little bit of looking into how they do that. And the Ojibwe had this interesting trap that they developed. They would take a stick and put it pretty firmly in the ground and sharpen the point so the bird couldn't land on the top, because that's not where they wanted the bird to go. Then they would drill a hole through that upright stake and put a small perch in there into that hole with a piece of string that had a noose on it. And that string went through the hole and was attached to a big heavy rock about the same weight of the bird, because too heavy of a rock had just ripped the bird's legs off, and that would, you know, wouldn't be any good. So the idea was that bird would come and land on that little perch. The weight of the bird would knock the perch out of that hole. The noose would close up over its legs, and whoom, there you go. Pretty ingenious. You got to get the bird on the perch. And you do that by bait. And what do you think you would use for bird bait? What birds eat, right? Seeds and things like that. And so they would put, you know, seeds of whatever kind of plants were around there to attract that bird. And they wouldn't do this out in the forest because there's too many other options, too many other places for the bird to perch. They would put it out in the middle of a field where there was nothing to perch on except their trap. And then those little seeds. Now, if we're going to get trapped, we're going to get trapped by who? Satan. And what's he going to use to lure us in? The things that we like. And so we are going to be delivered from that trap, but only if we have our eyes on the Lord. Only if we are understanding that those things are enticing us are not the things that the Lord would have us. That's when we'll be delivered from the fowler. When we're tuned into what God has for us, so that we recognize that that is bait. That is just a lure. That is just something that's calling to me that I can ignore. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Remember what Jesus said? I want to call you together like a hen with the chicks. You ever seen a hen and her chicks? We've got a robin roosting in our tree right outside our window. And it sits there. It's raining. The wings are just kind of out over those little birds, you know, little babies all protected under the wings, you know. And you can kind of get that whole sensation when you see that hen and chicks. You can just feel what it might be like to be snuggled up under the robe of Christ and have his arms around you, you know, and you just got that protection and feeling like you're in a place of refuge. And that's what he wants to do, is to bring us under his wings. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, there's two different defensive weapons there. A buckler is a real small shield, and it was used particularly with sword fighting and hand-to-hand combat. That buckler would be what you would use to protect your sword hand from other swords. And the shield, those things were like the size of a door, and they could be set side by side or even put up over the top, and they would run chariots over the top of those things, these huge, huge shields. And so Christ can be our protection from that shield. And it's his truth that shall be your shield. Now, in Ephesians, what did Paul say our shield would be? In the armor of God. Do you remember that? Shield of faith. So the shield of truth, is that really any different than our shield of faith? Because where does faith come from? Hearing. And hearing from the word. And didn't he say, I am the truth and the light and the way? So it's really the same shield. That faith, that truthness of Christ is what's going to be protecting us. And we don't have to be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. And Paul said that armor of God will protect you from the arrows, the darts of Satan. Now, the terror of night. How many of you were afraid of the dark? Yeah, I mean, to this day, there's times that I go camping by myself sometime with this mountain man thing I do, and not a lot, but every now and then, and those nights can be really weird, because you know, everything that you hear, you know, it's just a mouse, but it sounds like it's an elephant, you know, it's just huge, even though it's some little tiny thing. The terror by night is, in the daytime, it might just be a little frightening or a little scary, but at night, it's terror. I mean, it is just fear, abject fear. But we can be protected from that. We shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. We don't have to be afraid. Noonday, walking in the darkness, flying by day, terror by night, we don't have to be afraid, because the truth is our shield. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Whatever that is, it might cause some to fall away, but it doesn't have to come near you when the truth is your shield. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You can watch it, but don't envy it. Don't go after it with your heart. Just you can look at it. Only with your eyes, nowhere else. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And we are back in that dwelling place with the Lord Most High. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He's giving his angels charge. That means it's an order. He's charged them to watch over us. And in their hands, they'll bear you up. They'll be right there to keep you from falling, to keep you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, if you remember when Christ was tempted of Satan, this is one of the verses that Satan used. Remember, he took him up on the temple mount, and he said, "You know, throw yourself off." He says, you know, for isn't it written that he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways? And what did Christ say? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So even though those angels are watching over us, we don't want to be silly. We don't want to be tempting fate. You know, we still need to be wise. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. How much do you know about cobras? They're pretty venomous. They're not the most poisonous snake out there. But the thing with a cobra is that when they bite, they can inject enough poison to kill an elephant. You know, in one bite. So their danger is not so much in the strength of the poison as it is in their ability to inject as much as it takes. They can inject enough poison to kill 20 men. And they are strong enough that they can rise up about 6 or 8 feet long, and their heads are about the size of a man's hand. So you can get an idea of, you know, ooh, cobra. That would be kind of scary. It would be a little bit frightening. It would be a terror by night. But we know we don't have to be afraid of that, because the angels that are having charge over us will keep us from dashing our foot on a stone, and we'll tread upon the lion and the cobra. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go out and walk on snakes, okay? Because we don't want to tempt the Lord our God. But we can have comfort, and we can have the knowledge that in our refuge with Christ, we are protected from all things. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Now this is God talking but to us all. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. God, when we know God's name, when we claim his name, he will set us on high with him. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God wants to honor us. He honors us with long life, with eternal life. He has a banquet set for us, and we will be the guests of honor. His children are coming home when we get to heaven. So, and he only does that when we know his name, when we call him Lord and serve him as Savior. Long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We will see that day. We'll see that day. Psalm 92, a song for the Sabbath day. I almost thought about starting with 92 and working back. A song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Wow! Isn't it good to give thanks? Do you just ever take a moment and say thank you to the Lord? Let's just do that now. Let's just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you. It is good. It is good. And he likes to hear that. I mean, how many times do your kids not say thank you? And you get all disappointed. What do you say? Come on now, you can do it. And they finally say thank you, and you're going, oh, that's the magic word, you know. Right? Right? Okay? The Lord likes to hear our thanks too. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. We did that this morning. We started out with singing our songs of praise and giving him our worship. It's good to sing praises, to declare your loving kindness in the morning, and your faithfulness every night. Those are all things that are still good. It's good to give thanks. It's good to sing praises. It's good to declare your loving kindness in the morning. And it's good to declare your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings. On the lute and the harp with harmonious sound. Just imagine if Roy had 10 strings on that guitar. Yeah. Most bass guitars have 4. Elizabeth had to go get one with 6. You know, to have these extra strings to be able to praise the Lord with a harmonious sound. You know, if you don't have that instrument tuned, or if the instruments aren't playing together, you know, we have moments in practice, and I'm sure you'd be surprised to hear this, when we don't all play together. You know, I know you're surprised. You're probably blown away. But we all know it. I mean, we can hear it. It just kind of is really disjointed. And so to have that harmonious sound is what really moves us into a together instrumental group, you know, playing in the same key, in the same rhythm, you know, and that harmonious sound helps us in our practice. It helps us in our time of praise and worship. Because if we're off on our rhythm or off on our beat or whatever it is, it's hard for us all to sing. So by that harmonious sound, we're able to praise even greater and even stronger. A harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hand. Remember what that song, I'll sing for joy at the work of your hand. Promised the band we'd never sing that again. it's an old song. Oh Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. You know, his thoughts are not like our thoughts. You know, his thoughts are much deeper. We'll probably never be able to comprehend the depth of the Lord's thoughts. But won't it be cool to sit around in heaven and just listen to him talk and tell us and explain things to us? That'll be really kind of a cool thing to do. And meantime, we'll just be wanting to praise and worship and glory him. But his thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Bible scholars, I think, struggle with that one because their role is to try to understand the deepness of God. And they're just not there. You know, I don't know, a fool can understand this, but apparently they don't. And when the wicked spring up like grass, when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. If you remember over it, let's take a quick look over at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. First Samuel 16, verse 13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Samuel anointed David, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him right there. And here in the Psalms, David is saying, you exalted my horn like a bull, and you've anointed me with fresh oil, and the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Wouldn't that be a cool song? Go get 'em, Lord. You know, and in these Psalms, there's such a variety of emotions in these Psalms, and some of them are about, Lord, take care of my enemies. some of those are the ones that sometimes we just need to go and look at and remember that God will take care of those issues in our lives. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now remember up in verse 7, the wicked are going to spring up like grass, but the righteous will flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And in a lot of these older palaces, in the center courts, they would transplant trees. And in the shelter of those palace walls, those trees were watered and nourished, and they really grew strong. They flourished. And so here in the courts of our God, we're protected by the walls of his fortress. We can grow like palms and be strong like the cedars of Lebanon will flourish. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. This whole old age thing keeps coming up, doesn't it? I don't know if you heard about that lady. She had cancer. She was in the hospital and she actually died. And God appeared before her and said, you're not scheduled to die yet. You've got 30 more years to live. And she came back. She had one of those near-death experiences. But while she was in the hospital, cancer was cured, but she figured, you know what? I got 30 more years to go. I'm also make it good. So she had a little liposuction. She had a little collagen implants. She had some facelift things going on. When she was let out of the hospital, she was crossing the street. She got hit by an ambulance and killed. And she showed back up in heaven. She says, God, I thought you said I had 30 years left. He says, yeah, but I didn't recognize you. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you got to work with me here. Right, so. Okay, they shall bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He is my rock. I can take that to the bank because he's got no unrighteousness in him. We can dwell with him on the Most High, the shadow of the Almighty. We can dwell in that secret place with him. Well, there's three good songs. Anybody want to take a stab at singing one of those? Nobody? You know, some of these say, you know, sung to the tune of so-and-so. But nobody knows what that tune is, you know. So I don't know if you could sing one of these to Oh Susanna or what, you know. But these were all meant to be sung. And sometimes when you're, you know, just by yourself and nobody else is around, sing one. Just let it go. Just whatever tune comes, just sing it out to him and experience that psalm in the way that David meant it to be. Let's pray.